A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 18. Tenganar. A trip that took Din the better part of a day on the back of a speeder took only a handful of minutes in the fly, which was good because it meant that Din had no time to think about how he'd passed his night. His back ached. His bruises were fresh and livid beneath his armor. He could still feel Boba's hands on him, the warmth of his body, the memory of his weight. But the short journey meant that Din didn't have time to sit back and let guilt creep back in like a hungry Anuba. He didn't have time to think about how, as Din spent his night fighting and taking a beating, sharing Boba's warmth and the safety of his bed, the other Mandalorians were lost and alone somewhere, on Tatooine or in the Black. Din was too busy trying to pick Mos Pelgo out of the sands. The town was one tiny cluster of white blunt buildings among a sea of red rocks and pale ridges, almost invisible from a height. Din was only able to spot it because it was looking for it, and because he knew more or less where to look. There was no room for the fly down in the village, and landing on loose sand was usually a bad idea. Sand could shift and swallow ships sometimes. Din preferred to trust bedrock. So he circled over Mos Pelgo a few times, outpacing his thoughts and hopefully signaling to the town below that Din was nearby and meant no harm, then took the fly up to the top of a tall, flat mesa, setting her down and engaging the gear lock to make sure she was secure. Jawas crawled all over Tatooine's deserts and lowlands, but their crawlers had a hard time making it up to the mesas and plateaus. The fly'll be fine, Din told himself. He wasn't planning to stay very long, anyway. He'd be back at the palace before afternoon court. Din made sure he was geared up. No one in Mos Pelgo had taken a shot at him as he'd flown overhead, so he hoped that Vanth or some of Vanth's people had recognized the ship, and left, his back and the stiff muscles in his legs protesting. Din rolled his shoulders, relishing the solid pulse of pain that thrummed through him. Overnight, his bruises had blended together. What had been a dozen individual points of jagged pain had softened, the swelling brought down by the Bacta, and spread. They still hurt fire-bright and would for at least a few days. Din had declined more Bacta and planned to keep doing so whenever Boba brought it up, but the pain was manageable now, focusing instead of distracting. Din took two long steps to the edge of the mesa, and then a third step out into open air. Gravity caught him immediately and pulled him down, rushing him towards the unforgiving rocks below. Din let it, enjoying the swoop in his stomach, the wind whistling past his helmet, and engaged his jetpack with enough time to level out and begin climbing again. He soared up, positioning himself out of the range of most long-barreled weapons, and coasted towards Mos Pelgo. The wind rushed past Din as he flew, deceptively cool at this height. The suns hadn't fully cleared the horizon yet, but the desert was already warm, pillars of heat pushing at Din's stomach, warming his armor. Mos Pelgo bloomed out of the sands. Business, Din thought, dropping a little lower and zooming in with his visor, is picking up. There were speeders parked in front of the cantina now, 10 or 15 lined up in a crooked row. A few new houses, all made of the pale desert clay ground up sandstone and puntine reed mixture Tuscans called tinsa, had been built, the paint fresh and bright, and a long, low building that had to be the barracks for Boba's guards had joined them at the end of Mos Pelgo's only road. The road was packed in, too, the sand flat and level. It flowed out into the desert like an artery, carrying Boba's business north. The crops Din had seen when he'd first come to negotiate with Vanth were growing in, vines drooping with black melons, the polta beans growing tall. Several rooftops had been planted with Jaipur and now looked like they were wearing shaggy woolly caps, curling up at the ends like bantha fur. "The Sun Rock haven't left," Din noted. He counted 4 warriors on the rooftops of Mos Pelgo, all of them watching the desert with their rifles tucked underneath their arms, and he counted several beings who could only work for Boba. They all wore the same sort of clothes, stiff bantha leather and brown wraps to shield their heads from the sun. All of Fett's people were well-armed, too. They had DC-17s in their hands and Westars on their hips, and they all looked up when Din banked over the town and descended, dropping to land lightly on his feet just outside Mos Pelgo. Din's sore thighs protested when he put his weight down on them, an ache spreading out to lodge itself in the small of his back, but Din ignored it. It was an easy enough thing to brush aside. All he had to do was flex his shoulders and let a sheet of banked fire burn all of his other smaller hurts away. One of the Tuskens on the roof nearest to Din lifted a hand in greeting. Din did the same, which made the non-Tusken guards relax. Some of the guards had probably seen or met Din already if they'd come from the palace, but Din didn't recognize any of the ones nearby. Must have been recruited while I was gone, Din thought. He'd been on Boz Pity in Yavin 4 for long enough. He wondered where Boba had found all of these extra bodies. Mos Pelgo's original inhabitants certainly recognized Din, though. Kesh, the girl who'd warned of the sandstorm weeks ago, called out to Din as he started off down the road towards the cantina. Tobes, the little Bith who'd wanted badly to examine Din's gauntlets, came running over to hug Din fiercely around the leg before his minder came over and pried him loose, apologetic. "I don't mind," Din assured her, and Tobes boomed up at him. One of the raiders slid down from his perch to say hello and introduce himself as Duan, one of the Sun Rock's best scouts, and other residents shouted greetings of their own from their gardens and their windows, from the mines and the sands and their speeders as they rushed by, starting the business of their day. Din greeted them all in return and aimed himself for the cantina, guessing at where Vanth would be. Not a bad guess, he thought wryly as he stepped inside and found Vanth at his usual post leaning against the bar, though Vanth was drinking calf instead of spatchka, out of deference to the early hour. There were two other humans with him, a worn-out older man dressed in the practical loose clothes of a local, and a younger woman in the bantha leathers of Fett's guards. Vanth had swapped his holy red sweater for a faded blue one, though his red bandana still peeked out from underneath his collar. All three of them looked up when Din's shadow crossed the door. "Mando," said Vanth warmly. "Come on in." He lifted his cup and turned to the other two. "Dearman, you've met Mando here." The old man, who'd been in Vanth's basement during the sandstorm, nodded and lifted his own cup. "And this is one of your boss's folks." "Little Moon," said the young woman, inclining her head. She was maybe 20 or 25, wiry and brown-haired and tough. A shiny patch of burned skin stretched from her right temple down the side of her neck. The edges of it were ragged but long-healed. She reminded Din of Kara a little. There was a set to her jaw, a look in her eyes, that Din liked immediately. "Here's your little moon," the young woman continued. She looked Din up and down. "I've heard of you, sir." She held out a hand, and Din crossed the rest of the cantina to shake it, recognizing her for a fellow warrior. Her hand, when Din closed his own around it, was made of metal, hard and unyielding. She'd taken a bad injury at some point. "Just Mando," said Din firmly. He wasn't a soldier, and he didn't have a rank in Boba's outfit or any interest in taking one. "Or Jaren." He stumbled a little before he said it, tongue faltering behind his teeth, but he made himself say it anyway. It was his name. He'd get used to hearing it again. Something flickered in Kirsha's eyes. They were blue. "Jaren, then," she said. "Kirsha here is one of the guard captains," Vanth explained, settling back into his lazy pose propped up against the bar. Steam curled over the edges of his cup, and Little Moon's too, but not Dearman's. Din's lips twitched behind his helmet. Clearly not everyone in Mos Pelgo had as much respect for the morning hour as Vanth. "Her crew's on the night shift," Vanth continued. "You've got, what, 8 pairs of eyes?" 7, Little Moon corrected. "I make 8, and we're on most nights." She had a soldier's steadiness about her, something battle-tested and unflinching, even though she looked and spoke like a local. "Little Moon sounds like a Sarline's name," Din thought. "She doesn't remind me of Kara, she reminds me of Pyrrha Windrunner." He wondered where Kirsha had come from. If she'd been born on Tatooine, or if she'd been brought here. Where Boba had found her. She was at least 10 years younger than Din, she'd been born under the Empire. Hiring escaped slaves to work in Mos Pelgo was a good idea, though. Somebody like Kirsha Little Moon would probably set Vanth more at ease than somebody like Fennec. "Mardin's crew's on every 3rd night and every 3rd day," Kirsha continued. "He's got 7, too. Then there's Kubo's crew, they've got the sunlight shift most days. And the Sunrock fills in, rotates their kith in and out." She thinks I'm here to inspect the guards, Din realized. He tilted his head, considering. His shoulders throbbed. It wouldn't hurt to take a look around and get a good sense of how well Boba's people and Mos Pelgos were getting along, to put eyes on how the operation was running. Din had the time, and Boba would probably appreciate an update from someone who wasn't on the ground every day. That's good, Din finally said, sorting his thoughts out. Any trouble recently? He looked at Vanth. Last time I was through, you said you'd seen some watching you from the desert. Anyone come any closer? A few smugglers have been sniffing around, kicking up dust, Kirsha reported, straightening up like a soldier presenting herself for inspection. Small crews, mostly. 3 or 4 each. We've taken out 2, driven off 3. They've attacked the town, Din asked, alarm rising, but Kirsha shook her head. None of them have gotten that far, she said. They'll try and pick up some of the cargo on the outskirts of town or in the canyons, but none of them have been stupid enough to try us head on. Kirsha, Vanth explained in a mock whisper, is a sniper. None of them can get close enough to try us head on, she means. She's been modest. Din relaxed at that. Scavengers were common enough in the desert. Kirsha, from the tilt of her chin and the easy confidence Vanth seemed to have in her, had the town well protected. Din nodded. If you need more bodies, let me know, he told her. I'll see what I can do back at the palace. He looked at Vanth again. Any other trouble? Vanth shrugged, watching Din and Kirsha with amusement in his eyes. Nothing I'm too worried about, he said. We've had some strangers out on the Bantha Range, but none that have put me back up, mostly just the usual vagrants and drifters. No one watching from the cliffs? Vanth shook his head and drained the last of his calf. No, he said. He set his cup down. His eyes went watchful and sharp. What brings you around here, Mando? I didn't know you were coming, otherwise I'd have told everybody else. We've yet to throw you a proper Tatooinean feast. Dearman here's got a recipe for stewed melons that'll knock your helmet off. Din smiled faintly. I'd like to try it, he said. But Mandalorians have such a high spice tolerance, we've got our own word for it. Dearman brightened up at that. Sounds like a challenge, he said. Din shrugged. He'd be willing to try anything. Vanth snorted, eyes crinkling up in amusement, but then his expression faded and sharpened, the Vornskir look returning. Din's interest in Mos Pelgo's guard rotation and whether or not their food would be spicy enough faded. The rest of his problems, the covert in Mos Entha, the foundlings' beds, the tunnel that led into nothing but empty sand, came roaring back to the front of his thoughts. He cleared his throat and fought the urge to roll his shoulders again. He didn't need to, really. He could still feel the strain of standing still against that pillar twinging in his legs, his fingertips still scraped raw inside his gloves. It would have to be enough. The deeper bruises pressed into his shoulders and back were personal. Focus, Mandalorian. I have, Din said carefully, looking at Vanth through his visor. A problem I need your help with. Vanth's attention sharpened. My help, he said, or Mos Pelgo's? Yours. Vanth studied Din for a moment, then nodded. Let's take a walk, then. Patrol the perimeter or something. Dearman, about that thing. You know what to do. Miss Littleman, keep up the good work, and enjoy your day off. I mean it, Vanth added, fixing Kirsha with a hard look. Kirsha rolled her eyes and threw up a lazy salute. Dearman disappeared back into his cup. Mando? Vanth said, gesturing towards the cantina's front doors. Din obliged, chest loosening in relief. It's not that I don't trust Dearman or Kirsha or any of the others, he thought. Boba had trusted Kirsha with Mos Pelgo's safety, after all. If she had Boba's trust, and Vanth's, apparently, Din could extend his, too. But he didn't know them, not like he knew Vanth. Din had fought a crate dragon with Vanth. These are my people, Din thought, a little desperately. His shoulders ached. My brother, foundlings of my tribe. I can't put them in danger again. He couldn't risk leading enemies back to them. Vanth, Din could trust Vanth, but he didn't know Kirsha or Dearman. Vanth followed Din back out into the open air and stopped by a speeder, where he fished a chipped rifle out from a holster. Din looked it over. Is that an MK2? He asked. How'd you find one of those out here?
People throw all sorts of poodoo away on Tatooine, said Vanth, turning the rifle over so Din could get a closer look.
DCs were more common out in Rim Space. The MK2 Paladin class was an expensive blaster. Even one as battered as Vanth's could fetch a few thousand credits.
Why didn't I see this when we were fighting the crate? Din asked.
An Amban packed a bigger hit and a fire puncher offered more accuracy, but an MK2 Paladin wouldn't have hurt their cause.
Vanth grinned, a sharp flash of teeth. Took her off a smuggler a few weeks back, Vanth said. Don't know where he got it, but I figured I was due something nice. Since I'm going around unarmored and all.
Din shook his head, mildly envious.
If you find another one, let me know, he said. I'm in the market for a new rifle.
Oh, what happened to yours?
Same thing that happened to my ship, Din said.
Vanth winced.
Ah, he said. That why you're still going around with that spear?
Din nodded.
It's Beskar, he explained. It survived the blast. The Amban didn't.
Fett hasn't offered to kit you out?
He has, Din muttered. Din had the sneaking suspicion that Boba would attempt to build Din a Death Star if Din asked for one. But it wasn't Boba's job to kit Din out, and Din had taken enough from Boba already. He had so far managed to avoid bringing up his lack of gear around Boba. Din didn't really need a rifle anyway. He had smaller blasters, his spear, the Darksaber. He was pretty well kitted out. He was just used to carrying a pulse rifle, that was all. Vanth, perceptive as always, just shrugged.
I'll keep an eye out, he said easily. But that's probably not what you came to see me about, is it?
Din shook his head.
He let Vanth lead the way, guiding them out of the protective huddle of Mos Pelgo's houses along a track of sand that wound its way towards the cliffs and canyons that guarded Mos Pelgo's flanks. Vanth was sure-footed and slung his rifle over his shoulder with the ease of long practice. Even if the paladin was new, Vanth clearly knew how to handle himself. The cliffs and canyons offered welcome shade, even though the suns hadn't fully cleared the western horizon. Din set his fingers against the seals on his helmet, fought with himself for a second, and then undid them. He tugged his helmet off and tucked it underneath his arm. Vanth, to his credit, didn't look.
So, he said, once they were far enough away from the town to avoid being overheard.
What's wrong? What do you need?
Din resisted the urge to clutch at his helmet.
I've heard, he started carefully, that you might have a good way to help me find someone.
That did make Vanth stiffen, made him turn around and look Din full in the face.
Din set his own gaze on the bridge of Vanth's nose, trying to mirror him, and tensed.
Find who? Vanth asked. He didn't sound angry or outright dismissive, which Din took as a good sign. He just sounded wary.
Not a bounty, Din assured him. He took a breath.
Mandalorians, he said. My other Mandalorians.
On Tatooine?
Din nodded.
Vanth's expression softened a fraction.
You sure there are other Mandalorians here? He asked. Not just scugs like me in borrowed armor.
Pretty sure, Din said. I've seen them, at a distance. I went to Mos Entha to look, but they'd already gone. I don't know where they went from there, but Boba thinks, well.
Din forced himself to slow down, to keep his desperation under control. He felt the words stick in his throat, all jumbled together.
Ah, said Vanth. Understanding flickered across his face. Fett suggested the Ahra.
The network, Din confirmed, nodding. I brought danger to the covert once already, Din said. He remembered the slow horror of finding the covert destroyed underneath Nevarro, the heap of helmets. His neck prickled.
I don't want to go blundering around all over Tatooine, Din continued, forcing himself to stay calm. I'm recognizable, he gestured at the helmet. And most people know by now that I'm doing work for Fett. I don't want to bring my enemies, or his, to them, wherever they're hiding.
Hiding?
We don't live out in the open, Din explained, trying to choose his words carefully. The Empire hunted Mandalorians for a while. It wasn't safe to live openly.
Unease prickled at the back of Din's thoughts. My covert was hiding even before the Empire. The Empire had only started actively hunting Mandalorians for their Beskar 10 or 15 years ago, after Din had already been blooded and trained. But he'd hidden before that. He'd always lived underground, out of sight. So what were we hiding from? Din shook his head, scattering the thought. He'd think about it later. Ask Boba, maybe. Boba clearly knew more about Mandalore's history than Din did. Maybe he'd have an answer. But Vanth at least seemed to understand. His eyes widened fractionally, and then he nodded. Not a bad idea, Hayden. Especially not these days. I've not heard of any Mandalorians living on Tatooine, though. They haven't been here long, Din said. A month or two, probably less. The covert on Nevarro was attacked about a year ago, and I've been here several times since then. I've even been here looking for Mandalorians. That was how I found you. Vanth tugged at his bandana. Fair enough, he said. And you're sure these other Mandos of yours are still on planet? Din could only shrug. I followed their trail out of Mos Entha, he said. That was as far as I was able to track them. I didn't see any signs of a larger transport, no carbon, no depressions in the sand, but that was a few days ago. My intel's not fresh. Why come to me? Vanth asked. He looked at Din steadily. Why'd your boss point a finger my direction? Because your people see everything, Din returned, looking back. He wondered if this was uncomfortable for Vanth, to have someone like Boba Fett knew what Vanth's people could do, how their skills and access to Tatooine could be leveraged. Because you're everywhere. And Din hesitated, reluctant to show Vanth his soft underbelly, his desperation, but willing to take a risk if it helped Din find Paz and the others. Because you're my friend. I need help. They have children with them, Din explained. Foundlings. And Boba doesn't have all of Tatooine under his thumb. There are other cities with other bosses, Haxian Brood, Pikes. Beskar fetches a pretty good price on the black market. So do Mandalorians. They've got kids with them. Din nodded. A knot sat heavy in the back of his throat, hot and prickling. I'm the reason they're out here at all, Din said. If I hadn't gone up against the Empire on Nevarro, the others wouldn't have had to come out of the covert to save me. The Empire wouldn't have known they were all there. These are your Mandalorians, Vanth realized. Your tribe. My brother, Din admitted, thinking of Valerian's description. A big one in blue and gray. And some kids from my tribe, I think. There are two others who might be from another covert. I don't recognize them. How'd they get out of Mos Entha? Old hut tunnels, Din said, hope rising. He looked at Vanth again, made himself meet Vanth's eyes. Vanth's expression was serious, brows drawn together, mouth turned down, but it wasn't dismissive or angry, just concerned. Where'd they put out by? Din thought for a moment, mind working. Northeast, he said. Vanth chewed his lip thoughtfully. Northeast's still got some hut territory to it, he said. The Empire had a lot of it back in the day. Ran things out of Mos Entha, actually, but they're all long gone. Biggest city northeast of Mos Entha is Mos Ila, unless your Mandos are going around the lip of the Dune Sea towards Mos Gamos. Could be a lot of work for a bounty hunter in Gamos. I've never been, Din said. I'm not sure what kind of work they're doing, either. They've got to be doing some, but my brother, he's never been a hunter. Paz was capable of hunting, of course. They'd all been taught how as kids. But he'd never done any hunting. For the last 20 years, Paz had been the covert's guardian, not its Baroya. You think maybe one of the others is hunting for them? One of the two warriors in black. Din didn't know them. One could very well be the Baroya of another covert. Could be, Din said. Does your network, the Ahra, have eyes in Mos Gamos? We do, Vanth allowed. It's not a big spaceport, not like Mos Ila can be, but we've got at least one or two flies in just about every town and skughole on the planet. Flies? Vanth smiled. Eyes and ears, he said. Babs, we call them, like kirkflies. Always buzzing around, but hardly ever noticed. Flies. Din would have to try and remember that. So you'll help? He asked. I'm happy to pay you, Din added, coloring slightly. Should have led with that, Jaren. If Vanth was going to help, would put his people at risk, Din would happily pay.
We'll help, Vanth said, nodding. Kids shouldn't be hunted. Shouldn't have to grow up looking over their shoulders, expecting to be snatched up at any second. Anybody in town, any flies we've got out in the desert, they'll tell you the same thing. What exactly am I having my people look for? Mandos like you?
Din shook his head. 3 adults, he said. They'll keep the foundlings underground. 1, my brother. He's taller than me, bigger. His armor is blue and dark gray, and he's got more of it than I do, heavier plate.
Big Mando, all armored up, Vanth said, nodding. And the other 2?
I've never seen them, Din admitted. But Valerian described them to me. They're around my size, she said, and their armor is all black. She didn't have any other details.
Vanth snorted. All black? That'll stick out on Tatooine. She didn't need more detail, sounds like. And she let you walk on into Mos Entha and then walk out with the information you needed? What'd she charge you?
She wanted me to promise that Boba, that Fett wouldn't come and try expanding into her turf, Din said. He resisted the urge to roll his shoulders again. Sweat was beginning to gather behind his ears, at the back of his neck. The suns were clearing the horizon. Vanth whistled lowly.
You make that deal?
Din nodded.
Vanth stopped walking. Fett trusts you that much?
That, Din thought, opening his mouth and then closing it to think on his words for a moment, is a complicated question.
Din seemed to be running into a lot of those lately. Complicated questions, difficult thoughts, thorny ideas.
I miss the days when it was easy, he thought. When all he had to worry about was the next hunt, the next pile of credits to bring down to his allure. It felt like it had been a decade since Din's life had been straightforward. It felt like it had been longer.
Fett trusts my judgment, Din finally said, after chewing on the thought for a moment. Valerian, she's dug down into her own patch of Tatooine like a dune worm. Dislodging her would take a while, and Fett's enemy is the Hutt cartel. He'd rather have Valerian on the other side of the Dune Sea, causing problems for the Hutts, than camped outside his front door.
Vanth shrugged.
But he's good with you negotiating things on his behalf.
Din shrugged right back.
I think so, he said. He hasn't told me otherwise.
Vanth snorted, which put Din's hackles up defensively.
Why? Din challenged, ready to go to Boba's defense if he had to.
Oh, easy, said Vanth, raising a hand. No offense to your boss, Mant Mando. It's just, Boba Fett's not what I expected, is all.
Din eyed him.
What do you mean?
Vanth lowered his hand and tugged at his bandana again. You ever visit Tatooine, back when Fett was Jabba's favorite neck?
Din shook his head. I was here when I was younger, he said. 20 years ago, give or take.
Too early, then. Fett was, well, he was something. He hunted for the old worm, both on planet and off. He was unshakable, impossible to hide from. He dragged a lot of people like me back in front of old Jabba. He couldn't be bribed or bought off. Didn't care if you had a family, if you were just trying to escape and make a better life for yourself. If your chain code came up in front of him, he'd find you and he'd bring you in.
Din winced. He was Baroya. He was doing his job.
But that didn't matter to the bail jumpers Din had dragged back before the guild, did it? It didn't matter to the runaway slaves caught and hauled back to their masters. Din had mostly done guild work. Most of the beings he'd hunted were criminals, however small and petty. But I didn't always work for the guild.
We always heard that Boba Fett was ruthless, Vanth said, peering at Din with those sharp eyes. But he isn't, is he?
He can be, Din said, thinking of the beings Boba had shot in the throne room, of the stormtroopers he'd swept aside on Tython. His bruises throbbed. Boba hadn't held back last night, not during the spar and not during the flogging either. But he isn't all the time, or even most of the time.
Huh, Vanth said.
He shook his head a little, bemused.
He sent me good people. Kisha, Martin, Kubo, Darren Quickfly, Fenna Chase, they do good work. And they don't try to throw their weight around, either. In Jabba's day, anybody who worked for the Worm swaggered around like a big boss. They didn't care who they stepped on. Fett's people, they're not so bad. It's not what I expected. And you trust him, don't you? Din nodded. There was no point in lying or trying to hide it. He did. He trusted Boba. And he's the one who brought up the Aha, huh? He did, Din admitted. I wouldn't have thought of it. I was upset when I came back from Mos Entha, not thinking straight. I was ready to tear out into the desert and turn over every rock, which wouldn't be safe. It was Fett's idea to ask you for help. Well, stranger things have happened on Tatooine, I guess, Vance said, still a bit bemused, but looking game enough to try and help. Din's chest tightened. I will pay you, he said. Or your people, whoever helps. I know it's not safe to go poking around on Tatooine. Vanth waved Din's offer aside. Clink's not what we need, he said. And you don't have to worry about paying me back. You've done a fair bit for us, Mando. This don't sound too hard. You don't need me to pry your Mandos loose from wherever they're holed up, do you? Din shook his head. Paz would probably react poorly to any attempts at extraction. Lookin's easy, he said. I can put the word out. Mandalorians ain't common, not even here on Tatooine. If they're still on world, my people will find out where. It's gonna take a few days, he cautioned, catching Din's expression. We do good work, but we don't like rushing if we don't have to. Rushing's how you get caught. It doesn't need to be a rush job, Din said. He pushed a breath out, relief spreading through his chest. He didn't like the idea of accepting Vance's help without paying for it, but Din figured he could slip Mos Pelgo's bartender some credits on his way out and ask that they be distributed to Vance once Din was out of town. I want to find them, Din admitted, flexing his fingers. But if moving carefully keeps them and your people out of danger... We're never out of danger, Vance said easily. It was a sentiment Din understood, and a pang went through him. But we tend to favor caution over courage, too, when we've got the chance. I'll have my flies start in Mos Gamos and Mos Eela. Go from there. Din nodded, gratitude bubbling in his chest. Thank you, he said. And if there's anything I can do to help... I know where to find you, Vance said gently. Despite your fondness for your employer, you're all right, Mando. A friend of ours. Even beyond me. Piers put the word out that you didn't leave them behind on Buzz Pity, you know? You stayed to help them until it was safe for them to move on, even though the job was just to drop them off. Din did flush this time, red spreading down his neck. He didn't know what to do with the warm, open expression on Vance's face, so he looked away. Was just doing my job, said Din gruffly, wishing he had his helmet on. His vocoder had a way of flattening out Din's tone, modulating his embarrassment. Sure, said Vanth, eyes crinkling. Just your job. He let the silence lapse between them. They were well into the canyons now, Mos Pelgo behind them. The town's canyons weren't as old and towering as the Jundland canyons. They were really just a jumble of cliffs and rocks, the sides worn smooth by some ancient river, but they were still quiet and serene, the rocks banded heavily with red. They didn't seem to have a destination in mind. Vanth was steady and sure-footed, the twists and turns of the canyons memorized. Din made himself useful, searching the cliff tops for any signs of life. Jundabirds swooped down from lip to lip, and the occasional Kyrick fly buzzed overhead, returning to their nests now that the suns were up and the heat was steadily creeping in. But nothing larger than an Urusai moved. Did Fett tell you how he knew what we're called? Vanth asked, after a few minutes of silence. Din startled a bit, frowning. The Network? The Aha? That's our name for ourselves, yeah, said Vanth, eyes sharpening again. Did Fett say where he'd heard it? Din shook his head. No, he said. That's just what he called you when he suggested I ask for your help. The Aha. I had never heard it before. I've only ever heard you call it the Network. Huh, said Vanth. His expression was strange, pinched, like he'd swallowed something sour. It sounds Tusken, almost, Din offered. Maybe he heard it from them. Fett lived with the tribe for a while. Vanth caught his near stumble and cut Din a sharp glance. He tried not to bristle underneath the inspection. Din was the one who'd taken his helmet off, after all, who'd given Vanth the opportunity to look. I am not going to be the one to tell Vanth that Fett lived with the spotted Anuba. Vanth could figure that out on his own. Vanth was at least friendly with the Sun Rock now, but Din doubted that his newfound respect of warriors like Duan extended to the fearsome spotted Anuba. Ashek isn't even that bad. But Ashek certainly used the spotted Anuba's reputation to his advantage, and Din couldn't really blame him either, so it was probably best to keep Ashek out of it. I think it was a Tusken word a long time ago, Vanth finally said, some of his intensity fading. There used to be a fair number of Tuskens among my kind way back in the day. They're hard workers, Tuskens. Make decent pit fighters, too. What does it mean? Din asked. He rolled the word, Ahra, around in his mouth, without speaking it again. Vanth's reaction made it seem like a secret, like something Din should keep to himself, keep private. But the shape of it was familiar. There was Tuskra for the Tusken people, and there was Guihra for the outsiders. Ahra had the same shape, though Din didn't recognize the word. It sounded almost like Ari, the Tusken word for the wind, but not quite. It was softer. Vanth watched the canyons for a little while, then relented. It means free people, he said. It means us, the network. Vanth brought a hand up to thumb his collarbone, where that ragged scar hid underneath the edges of his bandana. That's all of us who slipped our chains, who bought our way out, or won it, or stole it back from the masters. I'm Ahran, a free man. Ahran, Din thought. He nodded. Be careful who you say that to, Vanth warned. We're a cautious bunch, us, and most of us have a price on our heads. I won't tell anyone, Din promised. He smiled crookedly. I'm good at keeping secrets. Sounds like it, Vanth allowed. He shook his head a little and returned Din's crooked smile. You're what we'd call a Batran. Not quite one of us, but a friend. A chainbreaker. That made Din's stomach twist. I'm really not, he said. He thought of all his bounties over the years. I did some work for Jabba too, remember? Vanth's expression faltered at the reminder, but then he shrugged it off. You think I've only ever done the right thing in my life? He said lightly. I wasn't always a free man, you know. For a long time, I was only out for myself. I didn't care who I threw to the Sarlacc as long as it meant that I was safe for another day. I was Dalaha. The way Vanth said that word, Dalaha, made the hairs on the back of Din's neck stand up. What does that mean? Din asked. When Vanth smiled again, it was lopsided, almost bitter. It added years to his face. It means that I forgot who I was, he said. Where I came from. It means, well, the translation's not exact. Most things aren't with us. But somebody who's Dalaha is somebody who's forgotten that they should be free. Somebody who's turned their backs on all their people. Somebody who helps the masters, who keeps their chains, and worse, somebody who helps keep the chain on another. Oh, Din thought. I understand. We call it Darmanda, he said quietly. It was Vanth's turn to go still, eyebrows pulling together. Din kept going. He looked down at his helmet and said, Mandalorians. Mandoade, he corrected, since he knew the word now. Children of Mandalore. We're supposed to keep to a creed. That's how we keep our honor, even when we have to hide. We keep our word. A warrior who breaks it is Darmanda, no longer a Mandalorian. Din's next words stuck in his throat, sharp as glass. But he said them anyway. I'm Darmanda, he said. Vanth stared at him. Din made himself look in Vanth's eyes, heart pounding, and then nodded. I'm Darmanda, he repeated. It was easier to say the second time. Din had been avoiding it for weeks. He'd thought it to himself in the privacy of his own head, but every time he could have said it, should have said it, to Vanth and Boba and anyone else who'd called Din Mando, he hadn't been able to get the words out. But they were out now, and Din couldn't help but stand straighter, chin coming up. Some weight fell away from his shoulders. He'd said it once, then twice. He'd be able to say it again. Vanth blinked and recovered a little. "Oh," he said, "you're not Mandalorian?" "No," Din said. "Why?" "I broke the creed," Din said. "There are rules. When you decide to be a Mandalorian, when I was offered a place in the covert, I swore to follow them. And then I broke my word on another planet while Fett was helping me find the kid." "Wait," said Vanth, holding a hand up again. "You lost the kid." "A few months ago," Din said. "He's fine now. He's with the Jedi, but the Empire wanted him."
"'Cause he's a Jedi."
Din nodded. "They took him from me," he said softly. Even several months distant from Tython, Din could still feel the shadow of that terror clawing at the bottom of his ribs. "Fett helped me get him back. That's probably why I trust him. He could have walked away, the debt between us settled, but he didn't. He took me to Morak, where the Amps had a refinery and a database of the rest of the remnants. I had to break the creed to get the information I needed."
"And that means you're not a Mandalorian anymore?"
"Yes."
"So, what are you?" Vanth asked.
Whatever he was thinking, he kept off his face. Din wondered how many other people had told Vanth something like this, had admitted they were Dalahra or something similar, a stranger to their own people.
"I don't know," Din admitted. "I'm still figuring it out, I guess. I never thought that I'd end up like this. I thought that I would have died first."
"I almost did, on Nevarro. If IG-11 hadn't been there, Din would have died. He'd refused to take the helmet off in front of Kara and Karga and the kid. Din had been ready to die there rather than break the creed. He could still feel the injury sometimes, a phantom pain in his temple, down the side of his jaw. What would have happened to Grogu if I had died?" Din wondered, then surprised himself by wondering. He'd never thought of that before. What would have happened to Grogu if Din had died on Nevarro? Gideon would have taken the Beskar. Kara and IG-11 would have run, but Din wasn't sure that his Allure would have helped them.
Would the Allure have taken Grogu in? She wouldn't leave a child in the Empire's path, but she'd also had a duty to the dead.
Would she have found another covert?
Someone would have had to look for a Jedi, but Din didn't know what could have happened beyond that. There were too many hypotheticals, too many things tied up and dependent on other things.
"I can't think about it."
Din did roll his shoulders just a little, relishing the little burst of pain that went through him, grounded him. He did feel lighter. Telling Vanth had been like ripping Bacta off a wound. Din stung, his chest prickling, but now air could get at the injury.
"Now I can move forward."
Whatever that meant. "Bobo will give me time." Time and space. He'd let Din sort things out. Once Din was sure that Paz and the others were safe, he could stop for a moment, take stock, figure things out. He could go visit the kid. Vanth was still looking at Din, expression unreadable.
"Do you want to talk about it?" he ventured.
Din grimaced.
"Fair," Vanth said, recovering.
"Does your brother know these other Mandos?"
"No," Din admitted. "We haven't seen each other since we lived on Nevarro."
"Ah, you sure you want to find him?"
"Yes," said Din firmly. "Just to make sure they're safe."
"Well, I can help. If they're on world, we'll find him for you." Vanth smiled encouragingly. "What are you going to do if they're already gone, though?"
"I haven't thought that far ahead," Din said. He couldn't,
not without feeling his armor tighten, his breath come short in his throat. "I heard," Vanth said, taking another turn, this one back towards Mos Pelgo, "that the Jedi used to be real good at finding things. People, places. That was one of the things they did for the Republic."
"Like hunters?" Din asked, confused.
He couldn't imagine gentle, serene-faced Luke Skywalker hunting anything. Hunting took a certain understanding of the galaxy, a certain willingness to spill blood and have one's blood spilled. Din wasn't sure Skywalker had that. He'd destroyed the Dark Troopers, but those had been droids. Killing something that was flesh and blood. "Everyone tells me Skywalker's the one who killed the Emperor," Din thought. "But he just doesn't seem like a killer. Not like Din. Not even like Vanth."
Vanth shrugged.
"Probably not your kind of hunter, no," he allowed, smiling wryly. "But it was the Jedi who found Jabba's kid during the Clone Wars. The kid got kidnapped. None of Jabba's hunters could find him. They turned half the planet upside down trying. And it was the Jedi who found him and brought him back. They've got those powers, right?"
"The Force," Din murmured, thinking it over.
It couldn't hurt to ask. If Skywalker could help, if he could even spare one of the other Jedi. "The other problem," Din said carefully, "is that Jedi and Mandalorians don't always get along. Historically, I guess. The Jedi I've met have been okay with me because of the kid, but other Mandalorians..." Din didn't want to put any of the Jedi in danger either. Not even Kakurk. It was one thing to think about giving Kakurk a spicy meal, and quite another to put the whiffed Jedi in the path of angry and frightened Mandalorian warriors. Paz wasn't fond of outsiders at the best of times. Din doubted that his attitude had improved since Nevarro.
"Fair," said Vanth, shrugging.
"Probably couldn't hurt to ask, though, right? Maybe the Jedi've got an idea or two."
"Maybe," Din allowed.
"Skywalker would help me. And Skywalker could take care of himself. He'd gone through the Dark Troopers like they'd been made of flimsy. As long as I stay with him, he should be fine," Din thought. Din could protect him from any traps or surprises, and if Paz and the others shot first, Din knew Skywalker could handle himself. Kakurk could probably handle himself too, but Din didn't know him. Din only knew that Kakurk hadn't liked him, had been suspicious of a Mandalorian among the Jedi. Kakurk might decide that the galaxy was better off without a bunch of blaster-happy Mandalorians, that Grogu was better off without Din and people like Din.
"Just a thought," said Vanth.
"We can look here for you. It's no trouble, really. We can even go back over Mos Entha, see if anybody aside from Valerian saw your kin."
"Do you have people in Mos Entha?" Din asked.
Vanth laughed. "The Ahara are everywhere," he said. "We're like Kirik flies. Under every pile of scrap and sand on this dust ball." Din smiled at that. Vanth and his people were certainly resilient, like Kirik flies. That wasn't a bad thing in a place like Tatooine. He wondered if that was why Vanth's people had named the Hawk 290 the Kirik Fly.
"Tell them to be careful," Din said. "Valerian knew I was with Fett. She might know you're dealing with him, too. I don't want any of your people caught in the crossfire, or for her to think that they're involved. She was willing to negotiate with me, but I don't know how far her patience goes."
"I'll spread the word to keep your name and your bosses out of it," Vanth assured him, smiling crookedly. "The Ahra have been around longer than Fett. Longer than Valerian and the old worm, too, though they might like to pretend otherwise. We know how to get around without drawing attention. It'll be fine."
Din nodded.
"Thank you, then," he said. "Are you sure I can't pay you? What do I owe?" Vanth waved a careless hand. "Don't worry about it," he insisted. "Consider it a favor. You said these other Mandos have got kids with them."
"Yes," said Din. 3.
"Then we're happy to pitch in," Vanth said firmly. "Kids are important. Kids are the future. And hey, if we find them for you, maybe they'll be willing to pitch in around here a time or two. You Mandos are carkin' useful to have around."
"But your people will be in danger."
"We're always in danger," Vanth said, tone gentling. He jerked his chin at Din's helmet. "Same as you, I think. In my book, that makes us cousins. Most of my people here feel the same."
But
nothing, said Vanth. You helped us out when we needed it. We'll help you. Easy as that.
You paid me to help you, Din said, frustrated. He had taken Boba's armor as payment for the crate. It wasn't like Din had jumped into a dragon's mouth out of simple kindness. He'd done it to get that armor back.
We did, Vanth agreed. He smiled at Din, fond. But you went a little above and beyond there, the way I look at it. That armor wasn't even yours. We paid you to help, but you would have died helping us if you'd had to, wouldn't you?
Din had been ready to leave Grogu in Vanth's care, so he couldn't really argue the point. He scowled anyway.
So, way I see it, Vanth continued cheerfully, we didn't pay you enough for all you did for us, which leaves me in your debt. I don't like being in debt, so I'm happy to pitch in. Won't even take much work on my part, and help you out in return. If your code or creed or honor won't let you take help for free, think of it as me settling a debt.
Din hated that it did help, thinking of Vanth's help as a debt repaid. Din had the credits. He could pay Vanth. He wanted to pay Vanth. The clink would help the network, would help those who were helping Din.
Next time you've got some people who need to get off planet, Din finally said, still scowling. Call me. I'll take them wherever they want to go.
I will keep that in mind, said Vanth, gracious in victory. I know Pyrrha would run with you again. Now come on, we'll get you something to eat before you go, at least.
A little baffled by Vanth's easy acceptance, but willing to take it with both hands if it meant that Vanth would help, Din nodded and followed Vanth back through the canyon and into the open desert, where a wall of heat hit him like a wave. The suns were well and truly up now, heat shimmering above the houses and the sands. The heat hadn't slowed the town down much, but Din could feel sweat pooling underneath the collar of his kuta. As he and Vanth made their way back through the town, Din felt curious eyes passing over him. His grip tightened on his helmet, but he didn't put it back on. If Vanth understood the significance, he didn't show it. His good cheer had come back, and he pointed out Mos Pelgo's various denizens by name, updating Din on their lives, on the Poltabeans coming in and the Bantha moving across the desert. Din appreciated both the stab at normalcy and the steaming miner's pie Vanth shoved at him when they made it back to the cantina, so he let Vanth chatter. Din introduced himself to the rest of Mos Pelgo's guards, too, committing their names and faces to memory. They seemed dependable enough for hired mercs. A lot of them looked like locals. Finally, once they'd reached the last house, Din shaded his eyes and looked up at the clifftops where the fly was still perched and waiting for him. Vanth caught the direction of his gaze and nodded.
"Duty calls?" he asked.
"It does," said Din.
"Go on, then," said Vanth, reaching out to slap Din across the back fondly.
"We'll take care of your problem for you. You got a comm frequency?"
Din nodded and gave it, then tugged his helmet on, waved goodbye to the people around him, and engaged the jetpack again, soaring up into the sky. The fly was exactly as he'd left it, safe on the clifftop, so Din dropped down, climbed back inside, and busied his hands, trying not to let hope swell in his chest. They could already be off-world, Din told himself, starting the fly's engine. Paz and the others could have hit the black days ago. They could be on the other side of the galaxy. But if they're here, Vanth will find them. And if they're not... Din had told Skywalker that he'd come to visit soon anyway. He could go out to Yavin 4 and get Skywalker's help if he had to. Din also wanted to see Grogu, but he didn't want to leave yet. If Vanth's people were able to find the others on planet, Din wanted to be close at hand. He didn't want to put Vanth through all of this trouble to wait too long to find Paz and the others.
I don't want to lose them again.
Din shook his head to clear it. Worrying wouldn't help. He could calm Skywalker and let him know that Din would be out in a week or two once he'd settled some business here.
I'll probably want a week or two away.
Paz wasn't going to take the news of Din being Darmanda well. Din would probably want some distance after his brother was through. A place to lick his wounds in private. But Din would cross that horizon when it was time. He aimed the fly towards Mos Eisley and set her on autopilot, skimming a few thousand feet above the sands. The stretch of desert between Mos Pelgo and Boba's palace was mostly just empty sand, broken up here and there by the odd outcropping of rock. Din caught sight of a cluster of Bantha moving together, a few clouds of dust that looked like Tuskens moving in Mos Pelgo's direction, and a Jawa crawler trundling between the dunes, but there was little else. He was touching down on the palace's landing pad within 5 minutes, going through the landing procedure again by memory, and back in the palace's cool halls within 10. He made it to the throne room to catch the beginning of the morning court. Boba, armored and inscrutable behind his helmet, lifted a hand. Fennec, perched at Boba's right hand, caught Din's visor and winked. Din tried not to flush and failed, though at least Fennec couldn't see him do it. He resisted the urge to flash a rude gesture he'd learned on Galadron 4 and only nodded back, curtly, and padded over to his usual place, leaning against the stairs. The crowd parted around Din almost unconsciously, shifting to let him pass. Din was used to that. Very few beings ever wanted to get in his way. But now he was noticing that many who got out of his way were looking at Boba as soon as they moved. They're looking for his approval, Din realized, his flush deepening. But a flicker of pride uncurled in his ribs, too. They think I'm part of the outfit. Din turned that thought over in his head as he reached the bottom of the stairs and pressed his back to it. Pain electrified him, a deep, satisfying pulse that scraped the back of his lungs. He propped a foot up against the wall to take most of his weight off of his shoulders, but he stayed where he was. He could feel Boba's eyes on him. Din lifted his chin and saw Boba's hand twitch. He was paying attention. "Go on," Din tried to say with his body, the tilt of his chin. "Hold court. I'll be here." Finally, Boba looked away and beckoned the first petitioner, a male Twi'lek with scarred blue leku and broad shoulders, up to the throne. The band started a soft tune in the corner. Chatter picked up again. "Something to drink?" Nora asked, appearing at Din's elbow. Din watched the court move and turn for a moment, Boba in the middle of it all. "You know what?" he said. "Yeah." Nora cracked a smile, cheek dimpling. "Something strong?" Din laughed. "Maybe not to start out with," he said. He wanted to stay sharp. Didn't want to dull the pain, now leveled out into a steady beat behind his ribs. "But we'll see how the day goes." Nora patted his elbow. "I knew I liked you for a reason," she said. "You're a sensible one. Hold tight, I'll fix you up. Want a straw?" Din nodded, still smiling faintly, and leaned back to wait.